ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरियाभ्यात् हरिख्याभ्यार्च्य जिष्ण्याग्र्यम् हर्षदा अभिवन्द्य च येषा अधिष्ठातुम् बिभ्राद् रूपम् हिरण्मयम् परीत्याभ्यार्च्य जिष्ण्याग्र्यम् हर्षदाभिवन्द्य च येष तदधिष्ठातुम् बिभ्राद् रूपम् हिरण्मयम् हरियाभ्यार्च्य जिष्ण्याघ्रम् हर्षदाभिवन्द्य च येष तदधिष्ठातुम् बिभ्राद्रूपम् हिरण्मयम् Paritya, having circumambulated, Apyarchya, having worshipped, Dishnya Agriam, the transcendental airplane, Arishadaro, unto the two associates, Abhivandya, having offered obeisance. Also, Yesha, he attempted Tat, that plane, Adishtatum, to board, Bibrat, illuminating, Rupam, his form, Hiranmayam, golden. Purport. No, excuse me, translation. Before getting aboard, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the airplane, circumambulating it, and also offered obeisances to the associates of Vishnu. In the meantime, he became as brilliant and illuminating as molten gold. He was thus completely prepared to board the transcendental plane. Purport. In the absolute world, the plane, the associates of Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu himself are all spiritual. There is no material contamination. In quality, everything there is one. As Lord Vishnu is worshipable, so also are his associates, his paraphernalia, his airplane, and his abode. For everything of Vishnu's is as good as Lord Vishnu. Dhruva Maharaj knew all this very well, as a pure Vaishnava, and he offered his respects to the associates and to the plane before riding in it. But in the meantime, his body changed into spiritual existence, and therefore it was illuminating like molten gold. In this way, he became one with the other paraphernalia of Vishnu Loka. Mayavadi philosophers cannot imagine how this oneness can be achieved even in different varieties. Their idea of oneness is that there is no variety, therefore they have become impersonalists. As Shishumara, Vishnu Loka, or Dhruva Loka are completely different from this material world, so Vishnu Tepa within this world is also completely different from this material world. As soon as we are in a temple, we should know very well that we are situated differently from the material world. In the temple, Lord Vishnu, his throne, his room, and all other things associated with the temple are transcendental. The three modes, Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna, have no entrance into the temple. It is said, therefore, to live in the forest is in the mode of goodness, to live in the city is in the mode of passion, and to live in a brothel, liquor shop, or slaughterhouse is in the mode of ignorance. But to live in the temple means to live in Vaikuntha. Everything in the temple is as worshipable as Lord Vishnu or Krishna. We see this important, this culture, this the philosophy being connected together with the culture, very important. Unfortunately, much of the time we don't see the two are connected. We think that the philosophy is one thing, and it's theoretical, of course. And then the culture itself is something archaic, and it doesn't apply to the modern situation. In this way, then, fine points of the philosophy, the culture, and definitely their connection will elude us. Is anything we don't have faith in, we will not gain. The Lord cannot be understood by mundane intelligence, no matter how intelligent we are. Lord Brahma, the most intelligent, was unable to understand Krishna until Krishna revealed himself. So, the point being is that everything being Krishna, there is no separate existence. There's only an illusion that that existence, separate existence, exists. Actually, it doesn't. The soul is perfect. It's always perfect, always has been, always will be. But the soul, being a person, has the choice to act within that perfect platform or not. So acting in that, then we'll call this the perfected souls. And if not, we will call them the souls where their perfection is covered by illusion. But the soul is never other than perfect. So that means everything is perfect. The lack of being able to see its connection with the Lord, that's where the imperfection comes in. So, Dhruva Maharaj is not influenced by this modern way of thinking that philosophy and the social culture at large is separate. The concept of secular doesn't actually exist because God's laws still apply. God still is in control. Things still work the way God says they will. So the concept of secular is not actually obtainable. Secular means that we see it from the universal platform. the platform of Vedanta, that the philosophy itself is actually giving the real truth. Our conditioning, that's what we can consider elements of that change according to the time, place, and circumstance. Because our conditioning is under the modes, and modes are changing. So yes, that aspect is there. But the philosophy, the culture never changes. So Dhruva Maharaj, being such a person who understands this and is therefore qualified, then he does not see a difference between the Lord, the Lord's associates, and the chariot that's been sent to take him to Vaikuntha. So he's respecting the associates, he's respecting the chariot, and because of this, he's situated transcendentally. If one sees that everything is connected to the Lord, one is not within the material world. This material world is actually an illusion. There is inferior energy. There's the material manifestation. But its action depends upon how we view it. We view it as the Lord's creation. It acts upon us and it reciprocates with us spiritually. We see it materially or separate from the Lord, then it acts upon us materially. So this fine point, one appreciates this and one is able to act upon this platform, then one is situated in the spiritual world. And like Dhruva Maharaj, then the body will function in a spiritual way. And here, then it takes on these spiritual qualities. He comes to the transcendental platform. So this element is very important, because if we're saying this is a spiritual movement and people within it are therefore being devotees, are spiritual, then we have to perceive them in that way also. So what's at work if we see something that's not what we call ideal? It's simply the modes of nature. The modes of nature do what they will do. The soul's not actually involved. So the consideration in dealings is one based on between devotees who are servants of the Lord, and what is the best situation in which a particular living entity, conditioned in a particular way, will be engaged in the best way in Krishna's service. Other things don't actually have any meaning. We're so used to giving them meaning. The illusion has been so meaningful to us for so long that we by habit, forget that it doesn't actually have any meaning. A dream does not have any meaning. It doesn't have any value. So many dreams are there. There's a dream about Krishna, about the spiritual master. We'll consider, yes, that dream had some value. Why? Because it's connected to the Lord. Other dreams, not so important. You know, being chased around the block, flying in the air, all these, and they're not very important. But people feel they're very important. So the considerations will be other than its connection to the Lord. But that will be a mistake, because then we are missing out on actually being situated in Krishna consciousness, actually being associating with the Lord, associating with the devotees on the transcendental platform. We see the modes and we act on the modes. We're associating with the modes. Very simple. But if we are seeing with spiritual vision, then we're unaffected by these modes. Then we can go beyond these modes. And so it's very open, very accessible. And this is not high philosophy. This is Bhagavad Gita. This is what Krishna is recommending, that we act beyond the modes by always seeing the soul, the super soul, and the material energy. We see these three, then we will not be affected by the mode.